I want to welcome all of you here on behalf of Marty's family. These are challenging times, obviously, to be gathering just about any place. And so we're just very thankful for all of you coming out here to honor Marty. And perhaps I could just say a little bit more about that, or just say that a little bit differently as a way of hopefully orienting us to what it is that we're gathering here to do this morning. We are gathered here together in a joint effort, all of us, to remember, to grieve the loss of, and to celebrate the life of our dear friend Marty Heald. And allow me to maybe introduce myself. I hope that, are you guys okay with me not wearing a mask? I just figured you guys are going to hear me a lot better.
Yeah,
it's good to see a face when somebody's talking to you. Some people get bedhead. Right now, I think I might have a mask beard from wearing my mask. But allow me to introduce myself, because many of you, I do realize, don't know who I am. You may be thinking, who is this guy with the beard anyhow? My name is Doug Cooper. I'm the pastor of Christ Restoration Church of New London, New Hampshire, where Marty had been attending for the last 3 years of his life while living in that area. And I have been offered this great honor, this incredible privilege to facilitate this service, which to me is a huge gift that I am so thankful for. I couldn't say enough about that. And if I could do this on behalf of our congregation, because many from our congregation in New Hampshire are not here, I just want to extend our condolences to all of you. We love Marty, and just sharing your grief. And we have been praying for you guys, and we will continue to be praying for you guys. We want you to know that. And speaking of praying, if I could do this, could I pray for us and for our time together? Please pray with me. Father, I simply want to pray and ask that you would meet us here in this place. I pray that you would even assist us by your Spirit, that we might do right by Marty, that we might honor him in all the ways that I was just suggesting. God, I pray that you would give us during this time sweet memories of Marty and a deep down gratitude for having known this great man. And Father, I do pray that as I speak and as I share, that you would give me the ability to articulate these things, and that you would give us a glimpse into the ways in which your saving grace moved in and worked and shaped Marty into the man that we came to know and care so much for. We pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And what we're going to do at this time is we have got two of Marty's really good friends, Bob LaFave, Buddy Bob, and Rick Burke. And this is what I want to suggest for those of you who are sitting. I would suggest to go ahead and remain seated. And this song that they're going to sing for us is on the back of your handout. I hope that you guys all got one of those handouts. And I think that this provides us with a really rich opportunity just for reflection, to just listen and just kind of take in the words that they're singing. And what I would say about this song is I think that it gives us a really unique reflection into Marty's life. It gives us a glimpse into what Marty's hope was, not just what he stood for, but what he stood upon. And so take it away, guys. Thank you.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, solid ground, burn through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of cross bare.
Thanks, guys. In just a moment here, I'm going to invite up Marty's son-in-law, Christian Sadla, to do a little bit of a reading for us. But let me just say a little bit about it before he does get up to read. Of all the books of the Bible, one of Marty's absolute favorite books was the Gospel of John. And so we put together a little collection, a medley, I guess you could say, of verses from that gospel that Christian is going to share with us. Thank you, Christian.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to Father except through me.
Thank you, Christian. Well, what I want to do is maybe take about 15 minutes or so to just to share some reflections with you about Marty. Some things that are reflections from my own firsthand experience, others that I have heard from others who have known Marty a lot longer and a lot better than I have. And maybe I should just say for myself, I have not known Marty for very long. It's been less than 3 years since we first met. But that being said, I feel truly like I have known this man for my whole entire life. And I think it's because, and I don't think that this was unique to my experience, but I think that this is because of just who Marty was. Marty, I'll just say for myself, befriending Marty was easy. He was an easy man for me to get along with. We got it together immediately. He felt like a kindred spirit to me from the start. In fact, I will never forget the first time I met Marty, the first time he walked through the doors of our church. His presence was unmistakable. Now, that was not necessarily a hard thing to do. We have a pretty small church, and so you don't really escape too many people's attention. But for me, personally, there was something really unique about Marty. We were meeting in a college lecture hall at the time, and he came in. He sat down right in the center, like dead center, maybe like five or six rows back, which means that, you know, from where I was standing, he and I, we just could not help but lock eyes. And he was wearing a pair of jeans and a black T-shirt that said something about Jesus on it. I can't remember exactly what. But his garb, I'll just say, was a bit unique for our collection of people. There was nobody else who was wearing a pair of jeans and a black T-shirt, okay? And it was endearing to me personally to see this man standing in front of me, okay? I'll get more into to the garb part in a minute here, but the other thing that I remember about Marty from that morning was that he was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, okay? I guess what I mean by that is he was just totally dialed in with me. He was completely engaged. He was an engaged, invested listener. And, I gotta tell you, as a pastor, we kind of like people like that. Okay. I mean, as long as they're pleasant. I mean, so long as they're not throwing tomatoes at us or anything like that, those are the kinds of people that that speakers almost unconsciously tend to lock eyes with and stay with. And what I can tell you about Marty is that was not a unique morning for him. That wasn't just like a one-time thing. Marty was always engaged, invested, listening, leaning in. In other words, Marty was a man of passion. He was a man of passion. He was either all in or he was not in at all. In fact, I was joking with Marty's family and friends over the course of this past week. By the way, Buddy Bob here sitting on the cajon, he does a really impressive Marty impression. You might want to check in on that. Okay. But, I don't know if it was you, Buddy Bob, or maybe it was you, Teresa. I can't remember who it was, but, somebody highlighted Marty's use of the word dude. There were times when he would call me up, and I know that I'm not the only one he would do this with. There were times that he would call me up, and the first word out of his mouth was a very enthusiastic, dude. Dude, you've got to hear this. And what followed typically was either a song, and Buddy Bob, you actually pointed this very thing out, and I just had to chuckle because I had the same experience with him. It was either a song, might have been something that he'd read in the Bible that morning, maybe something from an article he'd read or a book that he was reading. And in most cases, it had something to do with Jesus, something that had ignited his imagination, something that had just kind of caught fire in his heart. And he had to share it. He had to get on the horn with somebody and just be like, I'm excited about this. You got to get excited about this with me. Are you with me? Dude. And this is amazing. You've got to hear this. And from what I have seen firsthand and what I've been hearing from many others, this highlights one of Marty's strongest and most endearing qualities and characteristics. Although it wasn't always so endearing, I guess. I've heard that too. It wasn't always so gentle, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. And what I'm talking about is Marty's passion. He was a driven guy. He wasn't halfway about anything. He was full throttle. And so he pursued things. He pursued knowledge. He pursued excellence. He pursued experiences. He pursued people. And most importantly, in the thing that basically kind of inspired and informed all of the things that I just said there, he pursued God. Pedal to the metal, he did. And whether it was cooking that he was pursuing or whether it was surfing maybe or rock climbing or fishing or building something or hunting. Or how about this? I mean, this was one that was just knocking me out this past year. Whether it was a very thorough and growing knowledge of how to use natural supplements and how to find means of fighting and combating his cancer in alternative ways that were good for his body. Whatever it was, it didn't really matter. Whatever it was, he did it with gusto. He did it with passion. And this next part is really important, connected to that. Whatever it was that he was pursuing, it was never an end in and of itself for Marty. Marty always saw these things as a way of connecting with others. He was looking for bridges of connection and relationship in whatever it was that he was pursuing. He saw himself as someone who was gaining knowledge and skills that could be used as resources that could then be shared with others. He was endlessly generous all the way to the end. I mean, just within the last 2 weeks, Marty was trying hard to talk me into letting him buy my family an air conditioner that cost like $400. It didn't happen. I might regret that later. I mean that in the sense that, like, it would have blessed the man's soul. You know what I mean? He was a generous guy. He wanted to share what he had. He wanted to share what he'd learned. He wanted to share what he had to offer. And as I alluded to already, this could be challenging at times. Okay? And this is the way it goes with passion. Passion can be a difficult thing to suppress, right? And he had it in spades. So I'll give you an example. During this pandemic, which was tough for Marty, more than the rest of us, I would guess. It was tough for him. He was giving me guitar lessons on FaceTime, which was great, by the way. It was great. But it was not always easy. Okay, it came with its challenges. He could get a little testy at times. And I'm sure I'm to blame for some of this, but it's because he wanted me to go full throttle with what we were doing together. I might have been like half throttle or something like that, you know? But along these lines of what I'm talking about Marty pursuing things with excellence and looking for points of connection, I remember him going on and on and on about his girls. He would talk about his girls a lot. He pursued many hobbies and activities of all sorts and with great gusto, and the driving motivation for him was always that connection, that point of relationship. And here's just one example that I'll give you that I heard Marty talk about over and over again. I heard other people talk about it. He would go on and on about how fishing became a strong point of connection between him and his wife, Lucille. And he loved that. He loved that she loved it. He was an active guy. He wanted to do things, but he wanted to find things to do that they could do together. And fishing became that thing for that. And the fact that she came to love it so much just totally thrilled his heart, which is why he talked about it all the time, right? It's what we do. Her passion for it, her enjoyment of it, fueled him, fueled his passion, fueled his love. And this, in part anyway, this is how love works, isn't it? When you love someone, their joy, their happiness, their love, their passion fuels your love. Their smile makes you smile. Their tears make you cry, right? And so when you find a shared passion with the person you love, that is like all icing and cake. And Marty looked for passions to share with others. He was an icing and cherry kind of a guy. And that was a huge part of my relationship with Marty. We had a natural spark between us, I think, because we had several natural connections and passions. That's, I think, maybe why things came so easy for us. And so the reason why Marty's jeans, I said I'd come back to this, the reason why Marty's jeans and his black t-shirt endeared me from the start is because I used to be a jeans and black t-shirt guy myself, and I still am in many ways. I think I'm probably more of a tie-dyed shirt guy. To be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I'm wearing this suit right now, okay? But it's not because I want to. I'm doing it for Marty. Like, Marty, for you, anything. Even a suit. But one of the biggest shared passions that I had with Marty, and many of you will probably nod to this, was music. Marty loved music. We bonded around music, and the connections that we had, the life experiences that we had that were connected to music. And so Marty and I, we would talk about music endlessly. We would talk about the history of music. We would talk about culture and movements that emerged out of music, how music inspired and shaped us as kids. And of course, we did the thing that all music lovers did. We were constantly sharing music with one another. Dude, you got to hear this. No, you got to hear this, right? And this was a big connection. And like many of you, man, I loved to hear Marty play his guitar. Loved that. I loved his drive. I loved his passion for the instrument. I loved his commitment to it. I loved his thorough enjoyment of it. Some of my sweetest memories involve him noodling on his guitar while we led worship together at our church. I'm going to miss that incredibly. However, the biggest passion that Marty and I had that bonded us together, without a doubt, was Jesus. Marty loved Jesus. His life of faith was a passion that was fueled by a connection, by a relationship. And please get this part. Marty's passion for Jesus had to do with his passion for Marty. the passion of Christ towards him. Marty's understanding of the love of Jesus drove him. It blew his mind. That's kind of the language that he would probably use to express it. It just blows my mind. The love of Christ towards me. And the mind blower was that Marty understood that this relationship did not begin with a shared passion. Marty understood that this relationship was altogether initiated by Jesus. Or to put it in the language of the New Testament, we love him because he first loved us. Or here's another one. And to me, this captures Marty's natural born passion and driven nature once it actually collided with the love of Jesus. And these are the original words of the Apostle Paul, but I can hear Marty saying these words. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for messed up, mixed up me, is what Marty would have said. And you know what else he would have said? He would have said, and not just for me, for you. The endearing, sacrificial love of God for you. He gave himself for you. And in closing, if I could just adopt some of Marty's passion for a moment, and I'm hoping to adopt the endearing kind, and I hope I'm not being gruff when I say this, I would ask you, have you encountered the passion that Jesus has for you? This has been a tough week. And I just want to impart these words to you before we finish up. Is you perhaps like me continue to bear the weight, the great weight, the heavy weight of this significant loss in your life? Please hear the words of Jesus, which are very endearing. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, if you would please allow me to pray just one more time, and I'm going to offer us a benediction. And after I do so, these guys are going to play one more song for us. And as they're playing, I would encourage you again to just kind of take in the words and reflect as you kind of gather yourselves up and begin to leave. And I'll also say one more time, thank you so much for coming out, everyone. So allow me to pray. Father, thank you again for our most dear friend, Marty, and for these sweet memories that we have of him. And I pray that they would just continue to come our way. And thank you for your rest that you offer us in yourself. And I pray that you would keep that coming to us as well. I pray that very in particular for Marty's family, that they could experience your rest for their souls in the days and weeks and months to come. And we pray all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And so allow me to leave us with this word. And now, may God be gracious to you, and may he bless you, and might he make his face to shine upon you. Amen. No more imagining for Marty. Hey, thank you for coming out, everyone. We really appreciate you being here.